reporting live during wartime from the Pacific Northwest. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Okay, welcome to another Tuesday night edition of Outside the Box. It's March 2nd, 2010. Since the last show, we've seen more reports about solar activity during the time frame that the earthquake took place in Chile. We talked about this on yesterday's show, and you can listen to the archive over at libertynewsradio.com for more information on that show we did about earthquakes. And I've done more information on that throughout the afternoon today. And so coming up in the week, perhaps sometime tomorrow night, I'll talk a little bit more about some of the stories that I found, some very, very interesting stuff. Last night I got an email from someone requesting to come on the show, and we're going to talk with someone that goes by the name of Brethren Gregory William, and we'll be talking about the Federal Reserve System tonight. There's one issue that I want to really bring up that is one thing he knows a little bit about, and that's the issue with birth certificates. And the idea that we're basically collateral and asking the basic question, what happens when the economy crashes? What happens to us? That's a question I, for one, have been asking myself for a number of years. But let's not keep our guests waiting. Gregory, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I believe I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Well, welcome to the broadcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an old guy. Been around a long time. Been writing books for about 30 years, studying these issues. Wrote a book about 25 years ago. Started it about 30 years ago, Covenants of the Gods, which talks about the contractual nature of government. And we do talk about the Federal Reserve in there and what, how it affects the environment in which we live, and therefore affects the way in which we relate to that environment, which includes government and our neighbors and society in general.
Well, to be really simple with my question here, right out of the get-go, what do you think are the very most important issues we ought to be discussing right now at this time?
Well, you know, there are so many layers.
Yeah, pertaining to the economy, starting with the economic situation, and then we can kind of branch out from there.
Well, the economy is, you don't need a crystal ball to know that the economy is in trouble. And certainly the Federal Reserve has played a significant role in creating the problem. I'm not one of those who likes to point my finger at the government or the Federal Reserve. I really keep bringing it back to where we could have made a difference is the people. If the churches were out there telling the people how bad the Federal Reserve and that concept of debt notes would be in our future, which they should have known because the Bible preaches against it over and over again, people would have just shunned those notes from the beginning and avoided them, and they would have never got the grip. But we've kind of had a mindless approach to our own personal economies, and we have constantly looked to the government to solve problems, and what they have usually come up with, such as things like the Federal Reserve and Social Security, has simply compounded the problem until a point where it's almost too big to even hold the whole concept in your mind at one time, much less solve it. One of the solutions is, we have to get back to our responsibilities. If you want to get your rights back, you have to get back to your responsibilities. The economy is going to collapse. You need to start building an alternative economy, an alternative society, an alternative way of relating one to each other. And I think that's what the early Christians were doing. I think that's what Moses was teaching the Israelites when he came into Egypt, because they had the same problems we're having today. They didn't have gold and silver in their pockets. They had clay scarabs issued by the government. They didn't own their land. They didn't own their labor. They had to pay 20% of everything they earned to the government, and they called it bondage. Today in America, we pay 30, 40, 50, 60% to the government. We call it freedom. I guess the biggest problem is our own delusions, and that's what we write about, is to, pull those scales off. Think out of the box, as you would say. because you're not going to solve the problem inside the box. You got to get out of that box.
And I agree with you.
Well, you should. That's your program.
I agree with you. The economy is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. We're definitely heading towards some sort of a crash of the dollar. There's so many headlines we can even bring up at this time, but for one thing, a lot of people have been conditioned to become dependent on the system via food stamps and unemployment and other things. And now we're getting more reports about a lot of these things running out, these benefits running out in the very near future. And then we have Citigroup, Citibank, over there saying coming up in April 1st, 2010, we reserve the right to request that all account holders give 7 days notice on the amount of money that they're going to withdraw, or they reserve the right to not give you that amount of money. And so I think it's obvious in terms of solutions where we ought to put our faith is in our own communities, in ourselves, to develop maybe perhaps a local currency, but at the very least try to figure out a way to get off the grid or live independently of the system or without cash. And that's one of my personal goals, and I think that's one of the best solutions I can give to the audience at this time, looking at what we're facing. I don't see how we're going to fix this with any political solution right now in this particular part of the game we're in.
It appears to me that the powers that be actually do not want a solution. Some of the remedies that they came up with just recently with the bank failures was absolutely the opposite of what they should have done. It made the rich richer, and it is setting everybody up for a terrible fall. I think we're on the verge of not just an economic collapse. I thought it was interesting you talked about the sun. I've been watching the sun for about 45 years.
Oh, really? I'd love to get your thoughts on solar maximum.
Solar Max is really started off strange. There were a lot of things that went on around this earthquake, as well as a number of other earthquakes, including gamma ray bursts that are simultaneous. We have quite a network that watches these things, has their own equipment, plus they watch the NASA equipment that's available, and they're sharing opinions constantly as to why these earthquakes are occurring in the way they are. I've kind of been a catastrophic geomorphologist for years, and I believe that the Earth goes through severe changes every so often. I don't want to preach a gospel of fear. I think that everything from the economy to the nature of the government, the nature of the kind of people that are electing government, as well as the geological and agricultural, the amount of food. I used to work on wheat farms 50 years ago in North Dakota, and we had six years' supply of food on hand in this country, wheat, at any given moment. Today, we don't have a year's supply. We have a very efficient system, but if you threw a monkey wrench in it, everybody could be hungry in a matter of weeks, if not months. So there's every aspect that we need to consider. But if you just preach this gospel of fear, everybody who's afraid will gather together, and the last thing you want to be is down hunkered in your foxhole with a bunch of survivalists, because when the food runs out, you're on the menu. What you want to do is gather together with people who care as much about your rights, your life, as they do their own. And this is why Moses preached that. This is why Christ preached that. They all face famines. You know, the Roman Empire went through a series of inflation right after Christ, where a sack of wheat, which was 6 denarii at the time of Christ, was 120,000 denarii within about 100 years. When I was a kid, you could buy a loaf of bread for a dime. You don't have a dime in your pocket anymore. You have unjust weights and measures. So therefore, a loaf of bread costs you $3, $4. And it's not always as healthy for you as it should be. So, you know, which aspect do we look at first? There are so many. But yes, the Federal Reserve, which is where you started, has created one of the most gigantic trusts in the history of the world. We were told that at the time that they were trying to pass it. We had, Charles A. Lindbergh Sr., who was a congressman at the time, who said that it would do that and that it would bring absolute devastation to the economy. He was right. And it's also brought around the Social Security system, which has brought us back into the bondage of Egypt, where we don't own our labor anymore. We don't own our land anymore. We don't own our children anymore. You talked about birth certificates.
Well, we'll continue talking about that, Gregory, after the break. We will talk about birth certificates and go deeper into the rabbit hole. We'll be back in a few, friends. And, of course, if you'd like to join in, 866-986-6397. That's our number.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Is not what it seems. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
We get it almost every night. When that moon gets big and bright, it's a supernatural delight. Every photo was dancing in the moonlight.
All right, we're back with our guest, Gregory Williams. And we were just now talking about the Social Security system, the economy, but what a lot of people don't understand, what I personally would like some more information about, is to hear about, or where we can learn more about it, about our names being in capital letters, about our birth certificate, about this idea that I've heard John Maxwell discuss, but not very many others, about the idea that we're incorporated.
There's a thing that was going on in the time of the Roman Empire. Everything that goes on today has gone on before, time and time again. We keep making the same mistakes. And normally a child belongs to his parents. That's the institution of God. God didn't institute all these governments. People did. And they instituted them through contracts. The right of the parents to their children and the authority over their children has been so sacred in the law of nations and the law of mankind from the beginning that you cannot simply dismiss that power and authority of the parents over a child that they gave birth to easily. So Rome invented a system of birth certification, and it was voluntary under Augustus. By the time of Marcus Aurelius, which was 168 A.D., they made it mandatory that within 30 days of the birth, you had to register the child. That was a major source of persecution for Christians because they would not do that. Because Christ said, call no man on earth father but my father. When he did that, he was speaking to a crowd that understood what that meant. At that time, all the senators of Rome were called patri, which means father. The emperor was called Patronus, which means our father. So when he said that, they knew that they were not to make the state their father. And when you register the child, that begins a three-part process whereby the state becomes, this parens patria, this right of the father, where the state takes on that position. And, of course, you see the evidence of it. The state now is responsible for the education of the child. The Bible says you were supposed to educate the child, your own children. But the state does it. They provide health care for the children, WIC programs, all kinds of benefits. And it's been well known in law, the greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. You have to have that birth registration in order to obtain those benefits. Then you obtain the benefits. That's the second part of the plan. Finally, when you become of age, you begin to sacrifice on their altars. And that's when you start filling out 1040 forms. And you become a part of that state. You're a child of the state. The state is your father. You want to get married? Who do you go ask? Do you go ask your dad or you go ask the state? These are really very simple concepts. We have free booklets that you can download. All our books are available on the net for free. You can download them and read them. That explains.
Do you want to go ahead and mention your website so they can do that?
It's hisholychurch.info. You can also go to .net or .org. Has much of the same material. The book Covenants of the Gods, or the article or booklet called No Man Father, will cover the birth certificate issue, which birth certification really began in earnest in the United States with the federal birth registration area, which came out of a study of the Indian reservations. And what they were talking about is federal children. And, of course, the Indians were considered federal children. And now we've all become federal children. And we've also become federal employees, and we work for that government. Now, you know, I'm familiar with people talking about all cap numbers and stuff like that. Now, there is something to that, but the idea that you can simply turn this all around by not using all cap numbers is rather naive. You need to create a society that will help sustain you. Everybody's going to be free when the system collapses. And this will happen in a series of events. I can't give you the exact chronology, but it's pretty obvious because it's going to follow pretty much the way
it's necessarily know that. We don't necessarily know the day nor the hour.
No.
But we know that there is an inevitable reality. And so that was actually going to be my next question. What are some of the things that you see coming in the future? And we can talk about solutions along the way or ways you think that we ought to be appropriately responding to these challenges, but what are some of the things that you think, or certainly flashpoints along the way that we're going to see?
Well, I think everybody ought to have a certain amount of food stored up in their house. I don't care if you go down to the local feed store and buy six sacks of grain. You know, that'll be the cheapest insurance you ever buy in your life. You know, eventually drinking water and all these things will be very important, food, how to produce more food. But really what the key to our problem today is that we've been a selfish lot. We have not cared about each other. We need to start doing that. We need to start doing that in an organized, systematic way. The Christians survived that runaway inflation in the Roman Empire with no government benefits whatsoever. As soon as they got the baptism of Christ after Pentecost, they were cast out of the welfare systems of the Pharisees, which they called Corban. But they had their own system. They organized together into 10 families, picked a minister, and those 10 ministers like that gathered together and created a network that worked all the way across the Roman Empire and beyond. So when things got real bad in their area, they had more of a network to absorb those people, and that's what we're working on our website. You can see a link up there, a little guy with a net. You can join that network and start connecting with other people. What you do, there's no magic formula. It's about taking back your personal responsibilities, but you don't belong to the church. You belong to yourself, and what you do with that in your relationships with others will be up to you. But I see, you know, some basic obvious things is that people should not be buying their groceries for tomorrow today. They should be stocking up. But you won't be able to stock up for the length of time that there will be shortages. That's a huge volume of food. You need to start
learning
how to make it yourself. Find people who know how to make it. Start working with them. Start building that trust with each other, because everybody, like I say, everybody's going to be free one of these days. Everybody's just not going to survive freedom. But again, we're kind of talking.
Well, very well put. I mean, that's very well put. To be free comes with certain responsibilities that a lot of people aren't choosing to exercise right now, like being responsible
they actually don't even
for
know how
where
to
your food
do
comes
it.
From.
It's been so long since we've lived as a free society. They don't know how to get along. They don't know how to build the trust between each other that is necessary in these earth-shaking events that will probably take place in the next few years.
Well, in my opinion, that's why we're in this mess, because
Absolutely.
We've forgotten the ability to get along. And we can't get away from that reality that this is the issue on the table. Then we can get into issue two and issue three. But if we can't find a way to love one another and stop hating, because what I'm seeing, Greg Green, this is one of the things I talk about on the show, is a lot of people are talking about wanting change and this, that, and the other and all these things, but I'm seeing a lot of people warring with one another, a lot of relationship struggles, a lot of people letting what's happening to the world affect them, their serenity, and again, their relationships, their friendships, without realizing consciously that it's taking place. We have a break. Brother Gregory William is our guest. We'll definitely be talking with him in the next two segments. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, 866. Hang on here. Let me get the number for you. Almost have it memorized.
986-6397.
That's right. We've got 866-986-NEWS. Thanks, Greg. Back in a few, friends.
The world has entered the twilight zone. This is Outside the Box with Alex Ansari.
Someone told me long ago there's a calm before the storm. I know it's been coming for some time.
It's been coming for some time, like Rome. Our own roads are falling apart. I found this article earlier today and just noticed it, thought it would be very appropriate to mention in light of what we're talking about tonight with our guest, Brother Gregory William. Department of Transportation to shut down on Tuesday. As of Tuesday, today, March 2nd, 2010, a big chunk of the U.S. Department of Transportation will be shut down temporarily because of a lack of funding. Just how long it lasts will depend on Congress. The stunning news came Friday after the Senate adjourned without passing legislation to extend surface transportation programs that were set to expire Sunday, February 28th. As a result, 4,000 Department of Transportation employees will be at home without pay starting today, leaving only a skeleton crew. Skeleton crew. I think we'll get used to hearing that term more and more in the future. A skeleton crew to deal with matters of immediate safety. Gregory, your thoughts?
Well, that's you're going to see a lot more of that in benefits, including welfare benefits, disability benefits, Social Security. Social Security is not going to get their raises. And when we start obtaining hyperinflation, which is it just has to be around the corner, almost every economist is predicting it, they will not have whatever they're receiving now will not be enough. And the increases will not be coming.
And for those that say we won't,
staggering.
For those that say we won't enter hyperinflation, they don't really say why, Gregory. They don't give us a reason. The naysayers, the ones that say Obama's going to fix it, Obama's going to change it. Yes, we can. They don't show us what the plan is. There's no plan.
Well, everybody who's I studied economy. Economy has been about the same for the last 4,000 or 5,000 years. It works about the same way. Now, they can do some things to stall it and forestall it. All those things have been tried in the past. I mean, Rome, when they had the runaway inflation because they took all the silver out of the denarii, that's why bread went up in value, is they simply, Nero took a certain percentage out. Actually, Mark Antony and Cleopatra took 10% of the silver out. And then Nero took some more. Diocletian ended up producing just iron coins, which is what we had. And they also had borrowing to fight their foreign wars. They had to get those Germanic terrorists, They were causing so much trouble. So they were sending soldiers off there, and eventually just bankrupt the nation. And you couldn't buy a loaf of bread with, 2 pounds of coins. That's inevitable. Now, they tried to do things like price controls. They even had death penalty if they caught you, selling anything for prices other than what they commanded. But it doesn't work. It never works. And in a country this size, I wouldn't even imagine the chaos that it would create. You need to start creating, people want to go out and grow their own gardens. It takes you years to become a good gardener. It also takes, half a year to even grow a garden. There will probably be weather changes, as we see. That's all affecting the sun, affected by the sun and the activities on the sun. And crops will fail. And we can't afford that. We can't afford, there was just inevitably going to be a shortage of all kinds of things, and the dollars, we may not have the hyperinflation you see in some of the countries in Africa, but it doesn't take very much, and we're in a lot of trouble.
We are. Tell us about the video interview that you did recently.
Well, I did an interview with CNN International. I have no idea what they're going to put in that interview. It got delayed because the producer was pregnant and she didn't get it done before she took her maternity leave. So she let us know that it'll be airing later. And when we find out, we'll announce it. We have a newsletter we send out. It's free. It's on the internet. It's an email, newsletter, cause we have to cut costs too. And anybody can sign up for that on our website. But, I don't know what they're going to say in that, but we intend to put out more videos and audios, which are also available on the web. And we are trying to put together this network where people all over the country who have varying degrees of skill but have a sincere desire to help one another can start coming together and creating those bonds that will be so essential in the days ahead. Most people are not going to wake up now. They're going to wake up late. And so those of you who are, you know, realizing we have to think out of the box and start thinking for ourselves and start acting and doing for ourselves, we need to start coming together because there will be people that are worth saving and worth helping, and they will help us, and we need to be preparing for that.
Sure, yeah. We definitely got to be looking within for the answers as to where we go, too. A lot of us are asking ourselves those questions. Should I remain in the city or should I get out in the country? Or those questions are being asked. I think there needs to be some people that do stay behind the city to help the others learn and grow and evolve and understand what the heck happened here. And then some of the people might be better positioned off the grid. You know, I kind of would like to have both at this point. But it's definitely a time where these things are moving now, that these things aren't very far away. And it feels that way more and more. And I think we're affected, on a side note, from these solar flares physically, emotionally, some might even say spiritually, but definitely what's happening up there is affecting us down here.
Well, what's happening on the sun is simply the result of what's going on in, you know, the galaxy. You know, everything is cause and effect in this world. And, you know, it was interesting that Jesus said, look for signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Now, he wasn't talking astrology there. At the time of Christ's ministry and his crucifixion in the early church, there were aurora borealises, which is the result of flares from the sun, so bright you could read script at night in the streets of Rome, which is pretty far south. Tiberius actually sent troops to the north because of the fact that there were, they thought the entire North Woods was on fire, and they couldn't figure out where all this light was coming from the northern horizon, and because they didn't understand what that was. Of course, most people today don't understand what's going on. So that time period, there were things going on, and certainly there were changes in mankind. There was an earthquake that lasted for 3 days. It was a deep earthquake that you could feel as a tremor that was reported. Later on, there were volcanoes going off, such as Vesuvius. That was a period of pretty good activity. What we're coming up on, I believe, will be even greater activity than that. But major changes in mankind are often accompanied by changes in the earth upon which he lives. We're made of the same stuff.
Exactly, and this is something that I discovered last year and wrote an article about it, and I think there's going to be a lot more people that become aware of this in the future, the correlation between solar maximum and world wars, times of great war. The bigger the intensity of the cycle, the greater the level of change. World War One, World War Two, the Vietnam War, late 60s, the first invasion of Iraq or the first attack on it in 1991, the second one, all those took place during solar maximum. And so this next cycle, sunspot cycle 24, they say is going to be 30 to 50 times greater in intensity than the last. And so this could be the very thing that, in my opinion, humbles humanity. I believe, unless there's divine intervention, unless there's a massive shift in consciousness, or unless we have massive solar flares humble us down to where we have to grow our own food, we will wake up in that microchip population that we're concerned about so much.
Yeah, I think what we're facing, and I've quoted this in some of our articles, we also write for News Reviews, these are the best of times and the worst of times. In America, we have some of the best people in the world. In America, we have some of the worst people in the world. And there's going to be a conflict between those two groups. But that conflict is going to be won or lost first on a spiritual basis. You know, we believe that everything in the world has a corresponding, everything you see that's physical in the world has a corresponding spiritual existence, and you cannot separate the two. To think that you can is a grave error. So, you know, survival is not really as important as changing ourselves. You know, we can't change government. We can change ourselves and our relationship to our neighbors, because it's that lack of relationship that has brought about the problems that we're seeing today. We could weather the storm that's coming geologically and even politically and economically if we were to change ourselves.
We'll change the world by changing ourselves. Our guest is Brother Gregory William. His website is hisholychurch.info. My website, and also you can watch my TV show, which airs on Access TV in Portland, Oregon, is alexanswering.com. Be back in a few. Last segment coming up.
Forecasting the storm upon the horizon. Alex Ansari, Outside the Box.
Well, actually, the storm has already arrived. You know, I was thinking, this world that I live in, this matrix, feels more and more like a virtual reality video game every day. This, you just can't help but ponder. One day we're going to pass on and realize that we were living in a strange reality where, for whatever reason, we were given information about what was to come before it came. And based on that information, this virtual video game reality of life, through the free will that we're given, we're able to make choices on the information that we're given on what route we're going to take in this life and whether we're going to choose to listen to that inner voice inside that's letting us know that there's something wrong going on in this world and there's something coming upon the horizon. There's a storm that's actually already here. And this is the last segment with our guest, Brother Gregory William. Williams, some of your last thoughts here in these last 10 minutes we have.
Well, you know, it's a broad subject. We actually got off on something I don't usually talk about, which is the conditions on the sun, the effect of gamma ray bursts on the sun. We've actually seen in the last...
Yeah, we can keep it on that topic, too. And I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow, because I even found some other articles that deal with the moon and potentially its influence on earthquakes, not just tides.
Well, absolutely. That's well documented that it has... But usually it's a triggering effect. But what's building that pressure up is a key element. But we, you know, the problem, you know, like I said at the beginning, that we could talk about this from the standpoint of the economy, the bankruptcy of society, the moral bankruptcy of people. And it's so important that people begin to interact. We're actually creating this, like I said, this network. And in that network, we get all kinds of people. Some you can trust, some you can't. But because we're networking, we're finding out who we can trust and who we can't. And we're doing it by working on small projects now. But in the future, those projects may be the difference between life and death for many, many people. Instead of depending on FEMA, well, we wanted to have our own FEMA, Faith Emergency Management Auxiliary. And that's people helping people. And I think we could do a lot better job than bureaucracy if we get the right people together to do that. And we've been doing that to some degree, but what we're facing is so cataclysmic and so monumental. Whether it comes on slowly, whether it's this solar max or the next one, the solar max has actually started extremely slow, which is actually, people are wondering, is this the calm before the storm?
Well, the latest is February had no The latest that I got in terms of the the sunspots in February, we didn't have a sunspotless day. We had a sunspot every single day. So you're right. We've had a latent sun for a while. We've been in a very long solar minimum, and then things really switched beginning in December of 2009, right before the big earthquake took place in Haiti. And I'm seeing these images in Chile right now of all these people huddled together in a desperate attempt to get food. And the troops are out, and they're dealing with civil unrest there, and the people are starving, and they have no water. And so we ought to take a very close look at this and not take the resources that we have, the water that we have, the food that we have, for granted.
Absolutely. And in the cities, that could be so critical. But even in many of the areas of the country, if this planet were hit by three solar maxes in the mega flare category in a row, which I've actually seen coming off the sun in the last solar max, but didn't come this way, it's a very complex subject. But if they hit this planet, they could knock out all power on the sunlit side of the planet. I was just talking to an electrical engineer the other day, actually this weekend, and the fusing of generators and relay stations would be so severe. It takes 6 months to build these things, and they're not even built in the United States anymore. And I've seen these things melted down in Canada. We had some meltdown in Europe during the last solar max. If you got hit by one of these major flares or several of them in a row, you might not see power again ever. That is just the beginning of it, because when the Earth absorbs that energy, you could start seeing major volcanoes and earthquakes. But the economy alone should make people nervous. The amount of food in the food chain should make people nervous. We just have to start waking up and start coming together, because it's this isolationism that we're a scattered flock is not going to work. And we're going to have to learn those virtuous things that all these people who had faced these plagues before in the past, Moses, where do you think all those plagues came from? What do you think was going on at that time? The same thing was actually happening during the life of Abraham. And we have to begin to prepare that by changing ourselves and our outlook towards each other.
Yeah. Very much. It just happens to be a coincidence. 2012 is the year that sunspot cycle 24 is expected to go into its peak. That is 2012 to 2013.
And learning all these things when society is in chaos is not as easy as learning them when society is still kind of running along at an even keel, which is what we see now. Although for many people, the unemployment is outrageously high and people have lost their homes, they've lost their life savings. But I'm afraid that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's around the corner. We need to start learning what the early church was preaching, and it's not what you're hearing in your local churches. We need to learn what Moses was preaching, because Jesus and Moses were in agreement. And all these religions are dividing each other, and really there's only one God, and there's one way, and that way is love thy neighbor as thyself. And tend to what Jesus calls the weightier matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith. And it's not justice to take away from your neighbor just because you want social security or welfare. We have to learn to live an entirely different way than they've been teaching us.
Well, if someone was thinking about going back and reading their Bible again, or even if they want to just do more research in the historical parts of the Bible, what would be some areas that you definitely recommend as being what you think are... We only have a couple more minutes here. Some of the most important parts.
Well, that's what I've been writing about for the last 30, 40 years. Like I said, all our books are on the net. You go to our outline site, you'll see hundreds of articles. You can do word searches. There's a search engine on every site. There's a real problem with the people's understanding of the Hebrew language. There's a great problem with the way in these things have been translated. But then the ministers themselves have been guiding people in the wrong direction. And so... I can guarantee that we could occupy months of study on our website alone for anybody, and then get into the network and start asking people who've gone this route for a little while and begin to do the study, and they'll help you along.
Yeah. Well, certainly, thanks for coming on the show today. There's many other things that we could have talked about, but it's only a one-hour show. So we've got your website there, hisholychurch.info, and I believe you have a YouTube channel as well?
Yeah, I guess there is, and all those links are on the website. I'm not in charge of the YouTube thing. Brother James is. And so I couldn't even give you the link, but it's all if you, those main sites, you can go a lot of different directions. We also have keystothekingdom.info that has a lot of our audios. So there's plenty of stuff to look around there for, keep you busy for a long time.
Well, thank you, Greg, for enlightening us all on some of these subjects, and definitely we got to keep getting people to think
yeah.
very critically about some of these things. The future is now.
Yeah, now is where the kingdom is at. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. It's now. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we can go ahead and do it again in the future, maybe monthlies or bi-monthlies or whatever here on the network. I'm going to now, ladies and gentlemen, before we go out, run down a couple headlines here. And we'll be back tomorrow, and we'll get more in depth with some of these. But these are some things you can Google tonight that I recommend you might want to check out. Can the moon cause earthquakes? That's from nationalgeographic.com. And we talked yesterday about the article from Bloomberg.com that noted that the Earth's axis had tilted slightly as a result of the massive earthquake in Chile. And there's also some more information about multiple towns instantly being struck by the tsunami in Chile. And so there's a lot of things taking place. So, again, it's not about spreading fear. It's being aware of what the heck is going on in your backyard. On your planet today, while fancy graphics and sound effects scream at you and distract you coming from the mainstream media. These are the real headlines we've got to be aware of. NASA now ready to detect world-threatening solar storm of the century. That's from DailyTech.com. That's also another headline from the last couple of days. It's important to realize that there's a lot of new information that's coming out. Again, we have more info about the sunspots in February that I mentioned earlier, and that pertains to the fact that February was the first month since 2007 with sunspots every day, according to spaceweather.com. All right, we are now out of time. I hear the music. Hopefully in the end, things will really be all right. I'm Alex Ansari. This has been another edition of Outside the Box. I thank you for listening.